So we've been talking about Abraham, and we've been talking about circumcision and uncircumcision and the law and opposed to those who are not under the law and how faith comes. And so we come to chapter 4, and what shall we say then in verse 1? Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. And that's really true, right? None of us go to work and somebody gives us a check, paycheck, and we go, oh, wow, what a nice favor. No, a favor is something given that you didn't deserve. And so if you go out and somebody says to you, okay, you can mow my yard here, here's the amount that I'll pay you, and then they say, well, you know, come back around for some other favor sometime. It doesn't make sense. You'd be going away from there going, that's a strange thing to say. Because you earn a wage. And remember that we're gonna be dealing with this all through Romans. For the wages of sin is death. And so death is something we earn. And boy, isn't that something how we as mankind, humanity, we fight against the fact that there is life and there is death. I mean, so much so, as we talked about on numerous occasions, how there is an element of people, certainly a minority, but probably increasing every day in some circles, people who believe that if they will download their conscience or download their memories, their perceptions to a computer hard drive, then that, therefore, is their immortality. Well, my computer is a piece of junk. And when I say that is, I mean, it really is a pretty decent computer, but it gets hit by viruses and everything else. I would be guessing that my eternity would be short-lived if I'm not backed up somewhere. I mean, it's a bad situation.
It's like putting it on a cassette tape.
Oh. Oh, do you remember how they used to eat those jokers up? You'd get a new cassette, you'd be listening to it, and all of a sudden it would start going a little warbled, and then you're like, oh, no, 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 it's eating it. And you go to grab it, and you're just like, oh, no, 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 no. And I mean, you know, it's 5-6 foot long in there. And then after that, you get it all worked out, you clean the heads with the alcohol, rewind that sucker with a pencil, and then you put it in, and you go, it's getting ready to come. And then it comes in there. And then you end up pulling out that piece and you cut it with a pair of scissors and put a little piece of tape on it so you don't have to listen to it anymore. Anyway. Oh, man. Cassette tapes. Yeah, you young guys out there.
Just download another one for free.
Yeah. No, cassette tapes didn't work like that. But they would sell you another one for $10 for, you know, there you go. It was really... really funny. I do find it interesting that people are enjoying the record sound. Have you heard this? That records are coming back retroed because people love the needle bump. I can remember as a kid, we hated the needle bump, and now everybody thinks that's a cool sound. So I don't know. I guess... are we going to go back to VCR tapes too? I'm not going to put it on vinyl when I can put it on digital. No. You know what you need? I can just, back to a Victrola. We can sit here and wind it. Maybe we can hook it up to the ice cream maker at the same time and do both, right? Have a Victrola ice cream maker, double retro. Well, Abraham, let's get back to this. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And it was... not from a work, but it was, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And David speaks of this blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not take into account. And we're going to jump down now to verse 19. And this was the part to the end of the chapter that I really wanted to cover this evening. Verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. This is Abraham. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he contemplated his body being 100, Sarah being 100, and when he's talking about his age and Sarah's barrenness, and that's just another way of saying it, they were dead to descendants, to children. They were as good as dead to children. Yet, in verse 20, with respect to the promise of God, he didn't waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, even though he knew that this is an impossibility to me, even though I'm a... And you remember, we talked about this not too long ago, that Abraham, not just Sarah, everybody remembers Sarah laughing at the tent entrance. But Abraham laughed too, and he laughed out loud when God told him, can a man who's 100 and a wife who's 90 have children? And that is funny. I mean, if you're a person of any age, I mean, I don't think we have any ladies in here of childbearing age. And so if somebody were to come today and say, you're going to have a child, that would be, yeah.
You'd either laugh or cry.
Yeah, laugh or cry. Okay. Well, and you think about it. All right. Think about 90 years of age. And they live in tents, have left their own country. I mean, it's not exactly like Abraham had the American dream. He, you know, by the age of retirement, he wasn't living in the three-bedroom brick home with, you know, 1.5 cars and whatever children grown, graduated from college and wherever, you know, just visiting grandkids when they want to type of thing. This man was living in a tent, going to a land he did not know, with a boatload of promises about being the king of many nations and peoples. But what it says here, yet with respect to the promise of God. And we're just dealing with the one specific promise. And you remember Abraham was told to look at the stars one night. And so your descendants are going to outnumber the stars. So he didn't waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, he really, with every day that passed, he knew that it's an impossibility with me, but with God all things are possible. So he's giving glory to God, and that's an important thing because, number one, you're not robbing God of glory. To say, well, you know, God chose me because I'm just such a unique individual. And, I mean, does he really have another choice? I mean, look around. Or it's not that, you know, because of the way that I'm living, you know, God chose me because, you know, I mean, I've got the works to back up, you know, and so God's going to be doing things through me. Abraham was no less a sinner, a descendant of sinners than any one of us. And that's why, therefore, we have Scripture saying, because of his faith, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And being fully assured in verse 21, all right, so he's giving God glory, he's growing strong in faith, and he's fully assured of what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. And the verse, there is a verse that goes, I think that, well, let me just flip over here and read it to you, I think. This was Hebrews 11:19 But really backing up to 17, this is the chapter of faith. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. So here he is. We're talking in Romans that he's not yet received the promises, but he's counting. Faith is saying and living and glorifying God that the promises are as good as already mine. That's faith. Even though I haven't been given one, the promises, because God said it, I believe it, that settles it, the promises are as good as mine. They are a done deal. They've just not manifested themselves yet. But that leads to the manifestation of faith, because if you receive something, you no longer need faith for that, do you? And so just like we are walking in this world by faith, our faith is being manifested because the promises of God are yet waiting. They haven't yet all been given. And salvation is one of those, right? We have been saved, we are saved, we are being saved. We're being saved because the full manifestation of salvation has not yet been given. But it will, and we walk by faith. Now, he goes on, and he says, he considered, well, 18, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type, received him back as a type of somebody who's dead. In other words, now he's received the promise in this portion that we're talking about, and God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. So he climbs up the mountain that God tells him to. He binds his hands, prepares the altar, is ready to sacrifice him when God says, stop. Now that I know you wouldn't even withhold your only son from me. So Abraham, who is as good as dead, trusts God by faith. And when God says to do something, he says, I know the promise that says God will give me descendants through Isaac, so therefore God must be able to raise the dead. There you go. There's the thunder. God's backing it up. Able to raise the dead. And so Abraham is willing then to offer his son in obedience to God as a sacrifice. So, because of God's promises, Abraham, who was as good as dead and knew he was, received life and was willing to offer his son. And because of the faith, Isaac was as good as dead when Isaac was then returned to Abraham. So Abraham received back that which was already dead to him, because God knew in his heart that Abraham wasn't even going to withhold. So there are two things I want you to see here. One is the faith of Abraham to trust God, to go where you do not know. Now, I know we talk about that in terms of land. He's going from Haran up the Tigris, you know, river on over to Canaan, and he's there as a sojourner down to Egypt. Because out of Egypt he would call his own son Jesus. And so you see all of this. He tells him that your children, your descendants will be slaves in this land, but I will deliver them. And so he comes up, but it's even more so the journey of faith is taking him where he did not know. That's really the great mystery. The world's geography has an end, does it not? I mean, there are not any more continents appearing. The price of land just around us, we obviously know, right? God's not creating any more dirt around here. And so as you think about these things, we see that really the journey of faith, the great unknown, going into the higher, the deeper, and the farther of God is not about a land. It's about a relationship. It's about faith. It's about trusting God, believing. Here we were dead. And we receive back our life through Christ. Just as Abraham, though Isaac were dead, he received back the promises of God through Isaac. And it was simply because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so as we walk in this life, we walk in the steps of Christ, taking up our cross and following Him. Then even though we are dead, the soul that sins must die. Even though we are dead, because we have faith in God that He will raise the dead. That because He raised Jesus from the dead, the firstborn of the resurrected. Then we receive the promises. And we will receive our life back in return because we recognize that we were dead without the promises of God. And that's really what that chapter 11 talks about, faith. Now, he goes on. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in Him and who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's exactly what it's talking about. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. In other words, what this is saying is that Jesus Christ died because of our sins. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might be justified. We might become the righteousness of God. And we get there because we believe by faith that God did these things. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. We're justified by belief. By faith. And it doesn't come through an institution. It doesn't come through an organization. It doesn't come through the doctrines of men. No promise that a man can give us will hold water. But the promises of God do because God has been on the other side of death. And He opened death and the grave. And anyone who believes receives back their life because God pioneered, He captained salvation through death itself. And He extends that to us as a promise if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Heavenly Father has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then you will be saved. And so, there are some verses that I want to share here and that back this up, but Romans 5, 6 and 8. Romans 5, 6 and 8. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." Wasn't Abraham helpless? To descendants he was absolutely helpless. And then verse 8. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died that we might be justified. And then Romans 8:32. We'll start with verse 31. "What then shall we say to those... What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" The promises that He made to Abraham are promises that are ours by faith through Abraham, who is the father of all the faith. And isn't it interesting? It's not a religious leader. It's not an institution that God gave these promises to, but it's one man who believed God, and he is the father of all the faithful. Then also, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, backing up to 19, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." So, yeah, I mean, picture Isaac. He's as good as dead to Abraham, and it was so that he might live, because we're justified by faith. "For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." And so, when you think about this, we all tie our hands and our feet, and we lay down on the altar. That's what we're saying when we say, I'm crucified with Christ. I take up my cross and I follow him. We lay down our life. We lay down our flesh. And we trust the promises of God. Because what we're saying is, and what Abraham was saying in binding Isaac's feet and hands and putting him on the altar willing to sacrifice is this: unless God backs up the promise, it doesn't matter. We're all as good as dead unless God backs up his promise. And he believed that because God had given the promise, that he could even reverse death. And so that stands for us. Do we, though we die to ourselves in this life, what we're saying is we believe God can turn back death. And of course, we know that in Christ, he turned back death. And that's what we talked about this morning when we spoke about it was Psalm 76, and I think it's worth just pointing this out because I did not bring this to light this morning. Just about encouragement that God is the victor. But in the last portions of this, he says, "You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save the humble of the earth, for the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath you shall gird yourself." Because what's happening here is that God takes that people's wrath, turns it around, and he uses it as a weapon, or he destroys them in their wrath against him, and he receives glory for it. And so we were in, Galatians 2:20, correct? "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." And he goes on to say, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." And righteousness does not come through the law, but Jesus fulfilled the law. All the requirements of being the perfect sacrifice. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But in going back to this point that there is a wrath against God, and it is the opposite of waiting on the promises. The wrathful want to take from God by force, to storm in that sense, the strongholds of God, to take by force even the promises of God for themselves. But it's an immutable truth of God that God will receive glory even for those who seek and live by wrath. And so when we talk about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice, and then we look at our own lives, the fact that we take up our cross and follow Him, that we lay down on the altar and we don't kill ourselves, but we're as good as dead, but for the promises of God. And it's at that point that when we are as good as dead, when we make that decision, when the knife is drawn, like in Abraham's hand, Isaac wasn't squirming and trying to get away. He was trusting his father as much as Abraham was trusting God. When we come to that point in our lives, then we receive our lives back. That is the point at which Abraham's faith, as it was being perfected by God, it came to a place where God said, I know that you love me because you wouldn't even hold your own son back from me. And we can say that, you know, God, I know that you love me because you would not even hold your own son back from me. Isn't it interesting how people want to equate the love of God to how good He is to us as individuals? God gave me this. He gave me my health. He gave me money. He, you know, whatever it might be. But the reality is there is no greater love than this, than you lay down your life for your brother. That's what Scripture teaches. Now, let's continue on. How about Ephesians 5:2? Here we go. All right. Let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitate God. Jesus Christ gave His life and received back His life from the dead. Abraham offered up his son Isaac and received his son back and all the promises that came with it. We also, when we're as good as dead to the flesh, we receive back all the promises and our lives with it. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You can see the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac here in the very life of Christ. It was really almost a pre-showing, right? Of really where it was going with Christ. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Thanks, thankfulness, because we are waiting on the promises. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral man or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So we know that Abraham was not an idolater. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And we see that in Psalm 76 we talked about today. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And that's why God calls us to be separate, to be holy, to come out and be separate from this generation, this age, and follow His ways. Don't be partakers with them. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you're in light, in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. In other words, do live like the promises ask. Live like the promises bring change. And the promises do. If we truly believe them, we're not going to live the same way that we did before. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Wow. And Abraham lived by faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Abraham was trying to learn what was pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord takes us all through those steps. What pleases Him, and He works in and through us teaching us. It's not something you learn in a day. And he goes on to say simply, if you're going to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it's disgraceful to even speak of the things which are done by these people in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything becomes visible in everything that is visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he goes on, don't get drunk, don't do these things, right? We have a tradition as Baptists of being teetotalers, and I talked about that this morning, that a lot of Baptists have broken those vows in recent years. And not only that, but other Christians and other people have delighted to get Baptists to break those vows. Hold fast to the vows of our forefathers. Because even in the Old Testament, you find families who made vows to the Lord. Some of them included not drinking wine and alcohol and these things. Others were other vows. God honors those, even to the descendants. But God will hold the descendants accountable for breaking vows of ancestors. And that's what the whole Joshua thing is about. Choose today who you will serve. They were choosing for future generations, and God held them accountable for that. They backed out of following God. And God will punish the wrathful. And if you reject God, it's because you're wrathful. And but, you know, we've been dealing with some situations in our church body over several years where it's been not just sinfulness, not something done in secret. I mean, it came to be exposed. And people often wonder, why does the Lord, if you've got somebody who's claiming to follow Christ, why is it that you have to go through these steps, to go and try to win back your brother, because you're trying to win back your brother? And if they refuse, then you go with more witnesses. And if they refuse, then eventually the church body has to deal with it. And in Corinthians, it actually says to turn the evildoer over to the devil to destroy his flesh so that his soul might be preserved. Now you think about that. Why is that? Because in the process of doing these things, this passage gives us the truth. And it's that when they are exposed, light comes to them. And it just may well be that the light brings them back to truth. But it also sheds more light into the body. And it helps the body. And encourages the body. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. And what is the light? The light is the Word. The light is the truth. The light came into the world, but the world rejected the light because it longed and loved darkness. And that's speaking about Jesus, right? And the world and how they rejected Him. So everything that becomes visible then is light. Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So be careful how we walk. And that was Abraham. Abraham was not just going where God, go to A, go to B, like following God with a, some kind of holy GPS. Are you kidding? It was following God in relationship. Trusting Him when we're as good as dead. And, when we consider ourselves to be as good as dead, dead to our flesh, but alive to God's promises, faith in God's promises, then we receive back from God the very life that we gave up. That's the story of Abraham and Isaac. Here's a dead man. He believed God. Well, I can tell you that if Abraham had not believed God, God would not have made him the father of faith. I mean, that goes without saying, doesn't it? God promised David a kingdom eternal if he would follow him all the days of his life. There was another man when the kingdom was stripped away and Israel, part of Israel went away with this man who became king. God extended him the same promise that he extended to David, an eternal reign. But this man rejected faith. And so he was destroyed and all his descendants. And he did not receive back his life because he did not believe in the promises. David believed. Abraham believed. Daniel believed. John, Peter, Paul, they believed. And God calls on us to believe in the promises and to walk in the light, which means that, yes, at times we do expose evil deeds. But it's not for the purpose of destruction. It's for the purpose of trusting God's word to say, okay, this is what God's word says. We're going to do what it says so that light is shed, so that all things become visible, and therefore light comes in on the situation. And when light comes in on the situation, there is the possibility that we will see lives return back from the dead. And so that's what happened with Isaac and Abraham. That's what happened with Jesus. And because Jesus received his life back from the dead, we have hope. We have hope in the resurrection. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to pray for some folks who just need a little bit of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us this evening. We thank you for your goodness to us and for the promises. May we be faithful to those. May we lay down our lives so that we might serve you and receive back our lives from the dead. In Christ's name, amen.